learn what AI is all about and how it can help businesses across the board. And you're not going to have to worry about where your next check is going to come from and how you're going to support yourself and your family. This is the wave of the future. There's a lot of businesses that do not know what this whole AI thing is about beyond ChatGPT. And there's a whole nother world beyond that.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast hosted by me, Katya Allison. So what have you gotten yourself into? It's going to be a good time. There's going to be great conversation and there's going to be a little bit of learning along the way. And how do we do this? So glad you asked. It's through insightful interviews with top marketers, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I get the privilege to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in the world of marketing for you. I'm here to offer you engaging and informative discussions to help you stay up to date on the latest trends and take your marketing skills to the next level. Now, in today's episode, we are covering AI with Philip Blackett. Philip is a multi-talented individual serving as an author, consultant, speaker, and entrepreneur. With a rich professional background, he has collaborated with esteemed organizations such as FedEx, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and Chick-fil-A. So let's get started. Let's talk marketing, marketing, and AI with Philip. Philip, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. Very excited to have you on here today.
Thank you so much, Katya. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to talking to you.
Yes. We always like to have the audience get to know you a little bit. So let's start off with just you sharing with us your first marketing role was, or what you would have categorized as your first marketing role. And then we'll dive into what your current role is. So let's start with, what was your first marketing role?
Perfect. So my first marketing role, if I want to call it that, was I was actually serving as an internal communicator for a number of senior marketing executives at FedEx. And so there were three executives in particular. One of them is currently the CEO of FedEx, but at the time he had a global marketing executive role. So whether it was global marketing, corporate marketing, or global parcel marketing, I was the person that was really working with each one of them to help build their internal brand with their team members, both domestically and internationally, where it really was just trying to focus on how can I help from the internal side, marketing them, what their teams are doing, what projects they're able to execute on, and be able to broadcast that, share the good news about what they're doing to build, you know, rapport, morale, support across the ranks, and helps bolster what they can do outside of the offices to help move the company forward.
The internal PR is such a key piece, I think, to be an effective marketer across the board. I think oftentimes it's something that's missed. So I love the fact that was your first role. Now let's dive into, like, what is your current role?
So my current role is I work with small business owners and entrepreneurs to help realize the businesses they always dreamed of having before life happened with the power of artificial intelligence. I think it's one of those things that's really exciting about it is that artificial intelligence is bringing on a number of opportunities that a lot of small business owners, your mom and pops, your startups, small scale entrepreneurs would think a lot of that new technology would be like for the corporate titans of the world. And that sort of where it's just like you have to be a big business to actually utilize this technology. And in actuality, now, because of where AI is going, a lot of the small businesses, they actually can wield quite a competitive advantage against those big businesses. It's gotten me excited to the point I've actually wrote a couple of books about AI. So I'm excited to share that as well. But yeah, that's essentially what I'm working on now.
I'm going to have to read those books. I'm obsessed with AI, which you will find out shortly as we dive into it. But before we go into that, and you kind of already touched a little bit on this, but I'd love to know, what is it that you love about what you currently do? On the other side of the coin is, what do you not like about what you do, right? Like, if you could pluck one thing out and then it would be like the perfect job, what would that be? Let's start with the positive. What do you love about what you currently do?
So what I love about what I do currently is I love focusing on like growth strategy. Like, how do we help take the business with where it currently is at right now to where we're trying to get it to in the next 6 months, 12 months, year or so? And really coming to grips with like putting ideas together, coming up with the right strategies, and actually break it down to the actual tactics of what we're going to do day one, day 15, day 30, and that sort of thing to actually reap the type of results that we're looking to do together. I really find a great passion in helping businesses grow. And I think that's one of those things that when I work alongside entrepreneurs and clients of mine, that's really like something I could do just about every day.
Oh, I like that. Now, what would you pluck out?
What I would pluck out are the things that I'm not good at, but as running a small business myself, you have to take on, which is more of like the back office operation stuff, the accounting, the finance, the stuff where it's just recognizing for myself, like where my like sphere of genius, you want to call it, is, and wanting to focus on that. And then everything outside of that sphere, I want to just be able to say, hey, let's find people that's their genius level and let them work on that stuff. And we're all working in our genius level in our own different spheres together.
Oh, I love the way you articulated that because it's so true. I always say I want a team of A players, and I know that I'm not an A player in everything, but if we had a whole team of A players, imagine what the possibilities of what we can do would be. So that's great. Now, being in your role, especially because you're very focused on AI, I'd love to hear like how you leverage social media, if you leverage social media networks at all, as far as like looking to them for inspiration, education, or entertainment. Do you leverage any social media network for either of those things? And if so, which ones?
Yeah. So I think for me, like I've been involved with a number of different social media networks. I think the most common ones for me tend to be Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, to a lesser degree, maybe Twitter and TikTok. And I think it really just comes out to really understanding where are the people you're looking to serve? Where do they congregate among those networks? And then finding yourself building the presence there and then interacting with those people who you're looking to work with.
Do you have a guilty pleasure on social media? Are you a TikToker? Do you scroll nonstop? Are you inspired with pictures you see on Instagram?
So what I will say is what gets me a lot in the rabbit hole, if one of those networks is going to be it's probably going to be Instagram. And I think part of it is it's not so much the pictures, Katya. It's more so like the videos. Like I'm a sucker for like short, funny videos that I can send to family and friends that just has me just like laughing my tail off. I just saw one actually not too long ago where it was like this cute pug, which you think is all wrinkly and cute and cuddly. And it was making this weird baby-like screaming noise that frightened its like dachshund like mate. And it was just out of the ordinary, random. That I was like, this is having me like on my back laughing.
I think I've seen that video before too. And the pugs are so unique because their eyeballs just always look like they're going to fall out of their eyes at any moment. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I also think sharing videos and posts, they are entertaining. And then it ends up becoming, honestly, like a little bit of a love language. The amount that I send out, like I want people to enjoy it with me. It's hilarious. I love that. Now, how do you, outside of social media networks, how do you stay up to date on trends? Is there a network, not network, a newsletter? That's what I was going to say. Is there a newsletter that you subscribe to, a podcast, or is it books? Is it like, especially in the world of AI, how are you staying up to date on the trends?
So I think one of the big things is that on LinkedIn in particular, I actually have a newsletter myself that I run to help people get up to date on what AI is doing and how it can more importantly impact their businesses and their careers. It's called Use AI to Grow Your Business. It's a newsletter I have on LinkedIn. I have about 1,000 subscribers or so. And what we focus on there is just basically saying, hey, like, let's take every function of business, for example, sales, operations, marketing, and just kind of understand, okay, how is AI impacting it? And really just help educate people. And I know I'll probably get myself on a soapbox here, so I'm going to have to reel myself in real quickly on this.
We'll dive into it real soon. We'll dive into it real soon, I promise.
I'll just say this. The big thing is that I look at AI the way that we looked at the internet 20 years ago or so. It's something that could seem very foreign or daunting, or how is this going to apply to me? But lo and behold, 20 years later, everyone's doing it. And the biggest thing you have to get across to yourself is don't wait till 20 years to get on top of this trend. So definitely learn what you can, which is what I thought this newsletter could help out with. But I'm also reading different books, staying up to date, like any like current events that LinkedIn's talking about. They're often talking about the newest company that is, frankly, sadly, laying off people because they're making these investments on where technology is going with regards to AI. And it's almost like a mounting list that even since January 2024, it's like multiple big companies are saying like, listen, this is where the future is. We're going to have to make adjustments. And with those adjustments, oftentimes are tough decisions that impact people. And so the question that comes off top of mind for me is, I don't want any of my friends or family being on the short end of those developments. How can we learn what needs to be learned here and position ourselves better for what's on the way when it comes to new technology, including AI?
I couldn't agree more. And let's rip the bandaid. We got to dive into this because I cannot hold off any longer talking about AI. Like, my first question to you is going to sound a little ridiculous, but I also think that I ask these kind of basic fundamental foundational questions that ask you to, like, what is generative AI? And I want to explore that with you and define that with you, because I think oftentimes people have this idea of what AI is. And I don't know if they're thinking like WALL-E from, you know, like a Disney movie, or I think that's Pixar. So nobody go after me in any sort of comments in that. It's like this robotic thing. It's going to take over the world and all of this stuff. But let's dive into what is generative AI and how many kind of different types of AI are there?
It's a great question. I think when you think about generative AI, it's essentially like, you just take those two words together, right? Generative, meaning it's generating, it's creating. It's basically you are sharing with the AI platform or provider what you essentially want to create. And you're basically given a sort of direction or prompt, outline, or something along those lines. And on the back end comes this generated product, video, image, whatever you want that comes out of that. And so I think that when you think about generative AI, it's just thinking to yourself, essentially, what do you want to create and have AI basically do that for you as if you're like selecting on a menu?
I love that. How many different types of AI are there though?
More than I can possibly comprehend.
What are the ones that everyone is like, because we talked about generative AI, right? That makes sense to me. But I feel like there are others out there that kind of surface at the top, like the top three types of just kind of AI. One would be generative. What are a couple of others?
Yeah. So I think for me, when I think about it, here's the beauty part. Because technology is advancing so quickly, what I share on this podcast here, there may be very new forms, new tools, new platforms by the time this airs or 6 months from now in that sort. And I think one of the common misconceptions here, Katya, about generative AI is there's so much focus on the big elephant in the room, which oftentimes people say is ChatGPT, right? That's the most popular one. You put in a prompt, you say, hey, can you do this for me? It spits out this information here. You're like, oh my gosh, this is all the AI is. And the challenge I have with it is you're just scratching the surface on where generative AI is coming from. It makes me think, honestly, to an article I wrote, not wrote, but I read, back to the question you were saying of how you stay up on trends and that sort of thing, where there's this big article that was written by, I believe it's The Hollywood Reporter, and they interviewed filmmaker Tyler Perry. Mm-hmm. And basically, what was his response to what was going on with AI? And essentially, long story short, definitely recommend you check out the article. But essentially what happened was Tyler got introduced to this AI platform that basically you put in a prompt, you basically prompt meaning like you're typing in what you want to see, text to video, right? So think about that. And so I'm typing something here saying, write a short movie that focuses on these two characters going down Times Square. And then in the matter of minutes, Tyler essentially sees like the output of that, where the video is very much as close to cinematography quality as like a Pixar, as Hollywood production studio quality as you can get in Hollywood. And it was to the point where he basically said, like, he had gotten into the news like years ago. It was a huge thing. He had his own build out of movie studios in Georgia that he was going to do all his productions in. And that was going to be where Tyler Perry Studios was going to house it. We were going to build this huge multi-million dollar, like hundreds of millions of dollars in development. When he found out what AI could do in this one platform, you're typing in text, you come up with this video that looks very much like any other movie. He said, this changes everything. I have an $800 million plan expansion. I'm putting that on pause indefinitely. The reason why is like, I've just been exposed to a whole new way of going about creating my movies and marketing my movies that changes the whole paradigm of how I've been doing it before. What really gravitates or captivates me on that one is, okay, this is Tyler Perry, a big film guy, right? This gets back to is just you're being exposed to what is possible, but the same tool that he's being exposed to, you don't have to be Tyler Perry to use the same type of platforms now. So there's like a evening of the playing field almost to what's possible. Where now he's thinking to himself, do I continue with this expansion? What do I do with my people? Do I need to lay some people off? My whole business model changes. And clearly, he's not the only business that way that's happening. And I think, honestly, that's what makes this really riveting to see where this is going and how we can be a part of it.
Yeah, I also think it's interesting what you say. I think I have probably... like I had an immediate reaction to what it was that you were describing. And what I think like a lot of people are just kind of scared of, like, okay, wait a second. It's going to do all of this stuff. Does that mean I no longer have a job? But what I think I initially miss in my knee gut reaction is that exactly what you mentioned about evening the playing field. We all have access to this. What we do with it can be very different from person to person, right? And I think that is, to me, the really exciting part is like what Tyler Perry will think of something to do with it, right? Like I will think of something to do with it. You will think of something to do with it. I use AI on a regular basis for sure. Like I don't think it replaces everything. And that's always the conversation that comes up when I talk about AI with other people in the industry, other people in like marketing specifically, is what is the impact of AI to marketing? There are a lot of brands out there that are like, oh, great. This does even the playing fields. I can now just have one person in AI and then not need like the rest of the marketing team. But I'd love your thoughts on how you see the impact of AI in marketing specifically.
You hit on a point exactly that I remember talking about in one of my articles for my newsletter. It's to your point, Katya. It's think about it from the standpoint that for a lot of people, when they think about marketing, their marketing team, just like you talked about before, who's all on that team? More than likely, you're going to have a marketing manager that manages the whole team. And on that team, you're going to have a copywriter, a videographer, a editor on your video and audio team, a content creator, a social media manager, advertising, I guess, specialists and that sort. And I could probably think of the one or two more roles that come with that. And the beauty part, if you want to call it that, for at least for small businesses, because they're thinking to themselves, I got limited pockets. I got a limited budget. I can't afford to have
an entire marketing team.
I can't be like Gary Vee. I can't be like Grant Cardone. I can't be like Alex Hormozi and spend tens of thousands of dollars every month for my content team to produce hundreds of posts to put on all these different social media platforms every single month. There's no way I could do that. I'll put myself out of business. But because of where AI is going, there's all these different pieces of software that I've been exposed to where I'm thinking to myself, for most people, the opportunity is when you're thinking that you have to have a broad marketing team that's 8 to 10 people deep, probably costing you tens of thousands of dollars a month to do that. For a lot of people, it's just outside of their budget. Now your marketing team could essentially be 2 people. It could be essentially what I would like to call like your chief marketing human, right? Your AI software, and maybe a virtual assistant. And that's your team.
And I would imagine in the role that you're in, like that's the message that you're getting across, right? Like it's not impossible because of this. Let's leverage this. And what can you do? So what is your initial advice to those kind of entrepreneurs that you're saying, hey, it's possible? What's like that next step for them? Is it get all the AI tools, learn the AI tools? Are you teaching people how to leverage AI in their business for all areas? Or do you find that AI is really helpful in the marketing area? Is it really helpful in the finance? Is it really helpful in writing the business reports? Like, where are you really showcasing the use of AI as you speak to other people?
Yeah. So I think the big takeaway from AI when it comes to business is that when you think about all the different functions of a modern day business, sales, marketing, content creation, operations, finance, and all the other back office operations that support that, there is not one function that won't be impacted by AI. Where I tend to focus on is more where I feel like is my sphere of genius, where I want to specialize in, which is basically sales, marketing, and business development. Because I realized that is really at the beginning of a business trying to attract a customer. Because if you think about it, Katya, it's like in the full circle of taking on a new customer, you first got to deal with content creation. If you don't create content that you can put on social media or different mediums for people to know about you, then what are you marketing? AI can help you there. It can help you to the point where you can produce 30 days worth of content, day 1 through 30, in a matter of like 5 minutes. You can take that content and then go into marketing to figure out how do you best position it on different networks and different websites and different venues that can then get people interested to reach out to you. And then that's where it gets you to sales. And so part of it to me is thinking like, I'm focusing on the front end to bring in the customer, because every business, your lifeblood is serving customers and clients. If you don't have customers and clients, you're not going to be in business long. So I think that's where part of the reason why I focus so much on that, because businesses today, they're basically on a grow or die mentality. And a lot of what dictates as far as whether they survive next year or not is how many customers or clients or patients that they're serving more so than they did before. And how do we use AI to help bolster their content creation, their marketing, and their sales to further grow their businesses so they can continue to grow rather than regress or even die?
So it's really taking AI as a tool for almost all areas of the business. But the focus that you have is what I would describe almost as like the front facing, right? What's going to get people into the door. And I heard you articulate the first two, but help me better understand, how does the sales team leverage AI?
This is where things get, sometimes people can think this is scary. Some people think this is like really cool, right? So buckle up your seatbelts. Here we go.
Okay. Spicy question, apparently.
So imagine, Katya, let's just put you in this case study, we'll call it, content, and you're marketing your podcast show. You're looking for new listeners. You got the content, you're producing 30 days of content in 5 minutes. Now you're able to put this out in different networks. You promote it. You basically say, hey, if you're interested in this type of content, fill out this form and we'll reach out to you to learn more of what you're interested in and how we can better serve you. You do that, you get, let's say, 1,000 requests for information. Okay, Last time I checked, Katya, you're one person.
I am.
How many people can you likely call in a 24-hour span? Just you.
50.
Okay. So 50, 1,000 people divided by 50, that means you by yourself could do it in about 20 days.
Yes.
But is there better uses of your time than calling 50 people a day in what you do?
Yes. If I'm the only person in my business, absolutely, right? Like, kind of need things to be automated so that then I can focus on other areas of the business.
So you hit on the key word there. And the key word was automated. We've now reached a point that when it comes to sales, there are tools out there that you basically can load your customer list, who you want to reach out to, those 1,000 names. Maybe when you got the information from them, you asked for a phone number to reach out to.
Yeah.
There's now AI software now, and I've seen it happen, where you have basically AI calling your leads for you. You submit a list, name, phone number, and I've heard the quality. It's not like 100% match-to-match human, but it's very close. And it responds off of conversation. This isn't just like you just broadcasting a message to people and they click yes or no. And that's what this is like, hey, Katya, how are you doing today? And then you respond. And then AI responds based off what you say. So it's like dynamic type of conversation. You program it to a way where now it's like they call 1,000 people at the same time. So instead of it taking you 20 days to reach 1,000 people, you now have 20 days worth of time freed up for you, and you have those 1,000 people called that same day to where they're booking time with you on a website or getting the reminder of where to tune into your podcast show. You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to pay somebody minimum wage or salary to do that. Now it's like you just pay for the software to call those people, which oftentimes is significantly less than you having an employee to do that and still keeping the quality consistent.
I think I can somewhat get behind what you're selling over here, but you're right. It is scary. That's a scary thought, because the question that I have for you that I'm actually not going to ask you, because I have a feeling that I know what your answer is going to be, is like, at what point do we have the human touch? And I think what I'm hearing you say is let's say there's a list, as let's continue to use me as an example, right? I have 50 things to do. And what you're saying, how you're viewing the connection between AI and my 50 things is like, what of these 50 things can you automate so that you can really focus, and maybe that's more of that human touch, on the other things that you can't automate? Is that accurate? Is that what you're getting to?
I think you're right on the money there. I think we talked about sphere of genius, and everyone, yeah, I believe, has that. So then the thought becomes, okay, Katya thinks, okay, what is the thing that I do that nobody, human or machine, could replicate the same way I could do it?
Yeah.
And so once you understand what that thing or things are, now you look at AI not necessarily trying to take your job away. It's more so as far as what can AI free up so I can now spend more of my time that I didn't have before to do the type of things that the people that I'm serving in my business want more of. But I basically had the legitimate excuse beforehand to say, hey, I only have 24 hours in a day. There's only so many things I can do. I can't do all that. But now that excuse can go away, because now it frees up your time to do more of what you feel like your clients really want from you. Yeah. And you're able to do that because now that time has been freed up thanks to AI.
So I get that. And I do think it's exciting and scary at the same time. I also worry about brands hearing this and thinking, oh, okay, let's do this. I'm all about it. You're absolutely right, Philip. These are the things that I can automate. And then this is the thing that like I want to be able to concentrate my time on. But how well versed do you think someone has to be able to actually leverage AI so that automation is meaningful? So for example, if we continue to, or not continue, let's say we are, because it's generative, we're telling it what we want it to do, right? This is the list. I want to reach out to them. I want to introduce them to XYZ. I leverage AI on a regular basis, almost daily. So I would have a super prompt. Like I'd be real specific because I know exactly what I want to get out of it. But I think that there are a lot of brands who hear this. Oh, great. That's automation. Let's just sign up for it. Okay, go and do that. Do you ever run into people who are not bought into it, but also don't understand like how to truly leverage it? Because it's not, you have to have someone that can actually manage the AI so that automation is meaningful. I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So I think part of the thing is you got to look at this as far as what is your approach when you work with AI? I think you have a group of people that think that I'm just going to have AI. My ideal is I'm going to push a button or type in a sentence and whatever AI gives me, I'm just going to take that, run it. I'm done. You're also going to have another group of people that says, yes, I can do that. But I also know that AI can hallucinate. AI is not 100% perfect, right? So if people get in trouble thinking that they can just copy and paste as is and think that works for them and it's completely off brand for the person or risk being plagiarizing and that sort, but you then even take the time to even like edit it to even modify your voice. It's almost like if you think back when we were back in school and you're doing research projects back when they actually had encyclopedias and libraries and that sort of thing, like before Google here and that. So you actually had to go in the card catalog and find the actual books and you actually had to cite what quote you got and include it in your paper. You couldn't just cite a bunch of quotes and turn in your paper and expect to get an A. No, you probably get sent to the principal's office for that, right? You have to actually take what you got and mold it in a way that it works with your thoughts as well. Like the quotes are supporting what you say. They're not your paper altogether. It's the same thing with AI. They're providing things that support what you're trying to say or do, but the best way to go about this is look at this in a tandem type of relationship. This isn't just Katya allowing AI to just do its thing. It's Katya and AI working together. There's certain parts that AI does, there's certain parts that Katya does, and together there is this melding of a human and AI relationship here working together. That's what gets to the ideal. Because you're going to spot things that are more your voice, or you can train AI to be able to speak or direct things more in your brand, your voice, but you still have the final say. That's that part of that chief executive human that you basically adopt, where it's, okay, I got this content here. Is this consistent with my voice? Or if I'm going to have this go about calling my leads for sales, right? What is it going to actually say? Do I upload what I wanted to talk about and how dynamic? There's a lot of controls that you have that anybody can do, but it's more so are people committed to doing it? Because I think sometimes AI can give people an excuse to be lazy and think that they can just push a button, that's it. And that's how they can get themselves in trouble.
And I think that's really the point that I wanted to make sure that we did address, because as much as I love AI, I don't think that it can be done without a human also. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what you've also just described as well is, what did you call it? The chief human?
Chief executive human.
Chief executive human. There you go. It's the first time I've heard that, but I love that. But you do need that, right? You need someone that's, okay, my goal is this. So I have to set this up so I can then automate it. Because I think that's such an important part of the conversation when we're talking about AI. And this is like with marketing, with sales, with any arm of the business, and you're leveraging AI, like you have to make sure that AI is set up right. And then you do have these touch points of like human interaction with the AI and ultimately whoever your audience is going to be to ensure like, is it working as it's intended to work?
Can I blow your mind real quick?
Please do. Please do.
So we're on a podcast right now. There is a human element of two humans talking to one another and dynamically asking and answering each other's questions, right?
Are you actually AI? Is that what you're going to tell me?
Yes, I am. I am actually human. Here's the thing, though. One, I've actually seen that happen, right? There absolutely could be a place where I can create myself and it responds off of your questions. That's real. That's here. Not coming. That's here. That capability is here. What I was going to say is, to your point, as far as like the chief executive human, you actually have more than one choice of how to go about doing your podcast. Because one end is what everyone would think how you go about podcasts. You get two people here together, you interview and talk to one another, you record it, you have the audio. AI has it where another option comes up where if we can record a sample of Katya's voice, we can then replicate that, where basically what you could do is you could script out what you want to say in your podcast. And then AI can basically narrate the whole script in your voice. It could take my voice, do the exact same thing. And what could happen is we can have a full-fledged podcast without us actually even talking.
But we would miss out on so much.
I get it. I agree with you.
It is wild, though. Did you say this already exists or it is like around the corner?
I've already seen the actual software. I've gotten to a point where I could record my voice already and I could have it narrate what I wanted to say. I also have seen platforms where not only it can narrate from an audio perspective, but also video. It could take a sample of your video, record like a 1 to 2 minute video of yourself. You submit it to a certain piece of software. They do their thing. And then now you can submit a script of what you want you to say. And it's going to record a video of you actually saying it. And it wasn't even you. It's you, but it's you talking a script you submitted in your voice with you on the video. And it looks very eerily close to if you were doing it live. That's where we're at right now.
As long as that video had a statement necklace, I'm there for it. No, I'm just kidding. I think, like, for me, I love leveraging AI as a tool. It is scary. It is exciting. I think it's only to your point, right? I'm on the bandwagon now because I don't want to be behind later on. And I can already see the value of it as a consultant. I've done a ton of consulting. It is my coworker. I cannot move at the speed that I want to move as a consultant without leveraging AI and not to write things out. That's one, the thing that I love. So I don't want to ever give that part up, right? But there are, to your point, when I asked at the very beginning, what are the things that you don't like? Those are the things that I put into AI. I could probably talk about AI forever, and I'm sure that you could too. But I've taken up already so much of your time. I have one final question for you to wrap it up. Oh, I didn't even notice how long we went. I'm so sorry for keeping you so long. But yeah, here's your final question. If you knew then what you know now, what's the marketing advice that you give to yourself?
Go full all into AI. I think it's one of those things that, you know, I have kids myself. They're much younger. They're like going to turn 7 this month. So it's not even applicable to them. But it's like, if I was talking to my younger self, like, I think as far back as like 16, 17 years old, I would say.
Yeah.
Learn what AI is all about and how it can help businesses across the board. And you're not going to have to worry about where your next check is going to come from and how you're going to support yourself and your family. This is the wave of the future. And at the same time, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of businesses that do not know what this whole AI thing is about beyond ChatGPT. And there's a whole nother world beyond that. But at the same time, those same people still got jobs to take on. They may not have the time to do it. If you're able to find out what this really is about and provide a value for them to say, hey, let me help take care of that for you, then you're going to have a huge value for a lot of people. That's going to help position you as a thought leader and as somebody that could really be of service to a lot of people in a world that is changing literally by the day.
That's great sound advice. I can't thank you enough for coming on here, dropping your knowledge bombs, sharing new vernacular like chief human officer, chief executive human. Now I'm making up my own words. Either way, obsessed. Thank you again so much. I really appreciate you. And I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Katya.
Well, I hope that you found today's episode on AI as informative as I did. I've got my three key takeaways for you. The first one is AI doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't, my friends. Now, Philips has built his entire career, well, not his entire career, his whole business, I should say, on the effectiveness of AI for small businesses specifically. So maybe it's not as scary as it can seem to some people. I'm definitely of that mindset. The not scared of it mindset, that is. Now, AI has become increasingly accessible and can really provide a small business a competitive edge, but not only for a small business. Leveraging AI as part of your services or products is just going to be the norm, and that is regardless of your size, right? Now, I recently was at a trade show, and I can't tell you how many people and how many times people came up and asked us about our AI capabilities. Now, you as a business of any size cannot afford to really miss out on the AI boat, my friends. Number two, AI is not coming after your job. While yes, it can automate a lot of things that were once done manually, AI is not going to take over your job. It should truly be looked at as a tool to enhance human roles and capabilities. In marketing specifically, it can create content, for example, but that content has to be reviewed by a person to ensure that it hits the tone and the voice, and depending on your product or service, that it's accurate, right? It can analyze data. It can also automate processes. It looks at it at, I mean, I look at it as an opportunity. If I didn't have to do XYZ because it can now be automated with the use of AI, what does that leave me open to do now? I feel like that's the question we should ask ourselves. And the final key takeaway, become a prompt engineer. Now, we didn't really dive too deep into this, but to me, it's a key takeaway from any conversation regarding AI. You have to learn a new skill set, and that is the skill set of AI prompting. Now, that's focusing on the input that you're providing to get the output that you want to get out of it, right? That's how you can really leverage AI. The better you get at prompting, the better the outcomes you get. So don't be afraid of it. Play around with it. Hone in on that skill. And not only will you become an asset with a new skill set, but you can work more efficiently too. Now, I would love to hear what nuggets of insights you walked away with from today's episode. I'd love it if you shared it in a comment or in a review. I love reviews. Tell me what you like. A special thank you to my podcast producers, the amazing team at Content Allies. And thanks for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic but grounded in reality. This is Katya signing off.